Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians this morning, please. In chapter number 3, we're going to be in chapter number 3 and chapter number 4. And I want to share the thought that God has put on my heart. I've been with a lot of people in these years as pastor. We've had a lot of people leave this world from our church. There are others that are fixing to leave that I know that leave this world. And I don't know what it is, and I think to a certain extent it's healthy. But every once in a while I just know that it ain't going to be long, I'm going to be leaving. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are today, it ain't going to be long and you're going to be leaving. And you can talk to somebody that's 100 years old and they'll tell you it went by just like that. Amen. Just the Bible said that life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. But I'm hung up on something this morning, a thought where the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, if you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, I want to deliver what God's put on my heart. Get us out of here by about 2 o'clock, and then we can get back by 6. Amen. The Bible said, finally, see that word? Then the next two words are important, my brethren. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Turn over to chapter 4, please, and verse number 8. The Word of God said, finally, brethren. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 2 Timothy that the time of his departure was at hand. And Paul has some things to share with us in these chapters here that I believe that we ought to be meditating on, thinking about as we approach the coming of the Lord, or that time when he would come for us. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can be seated. Pray with us, would you? Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. I thank you, God, for the testimony of Brother Brad. I thank you, God, for the fact that as the choir sang, we can know that our name is written there. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to just enter into the mindset of the Apostle Paul, Lord, as he uses that word finally. In the end, Lord, I believe these things are going to matter. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to meditate on these things today a little while and speak to our hearts. God, I pray if there's someone here that don't know you, that this might be the day they turn loose of self, turn loose of sin, take hold of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. I want to give you just really two things in the message today. Now, there's several things under those two things. Don't get all excited, amen. But I believe, finally, that my brethren, I believe God would say to us first that he wants us to rejoice. Finally, my brethren, the Word of God said rejoice. Wouldn't it be sad to rejoice in the beginning of your life and your walk with Jesus and not be in a place where you could rejoice in the end? And I believe there's some things here that God wants to speak to our heart about. And the first thing under this, rejoice. He wants us to rejoice because of our faith. Listen to me this morning. Our brother stood up here and talked about the Muslims. You know what? You may have never had this thought before, but it's a grace of God you wasn't raised up to hate Jesus. It's a grace of God you wasn't raised up to hate the Bible. It's a grace of God you wasn't raised up to hate God's people. Amen. It's a grace of God you wasn't raised up to hate America. Amen. To hate Israel. I thank God, beloved, listen, that according to this book, we're on the right side of those issues. And let me ask you this, what else matters? Beloved, this is what's already settled in heaven. Amen. Nothing else matters. If you're on the right side of this book, you're going to be in good shape when you stand face to face with the Savior. Amen. We ought to rejoice because of our faith. He said here, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you as to me is not grievous. He said to beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Our faith, it, beloved, it's a faith that the Word of God tells us here that worship. It's a faith that wins. In verse number 7, he said, but all things were gained to me as I counted loss, that I might win Christ. It's a faith not only that worship and a faith that wins, but it's a faith, beloved, listen, that warns. The Word of God said, beware of dogs and the concision. You need to be careful what you listen to. Amen. Listen, everything that's got, everybody's got a Bible under their arm is not telling the truth. Amen. There'll be all kinds of them on the television today telling you that if you love God, you're going to have the nicest things, and send me $100 and God will give you $1,000. They're telling lies. Amen. I'm just telling you, they're telling lies. But this book tells us the truth, and we ought to rejoice. Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice, and we ought to rejoice because of our faith. And then secondly, we ought to rejoice. You're going to like this, Brother Brad, in spite of our flesh. We ought to rejoice in spite of our flesh. In other words, listen to me. Notice what the Word of God said here. Down here, the Bible said in verse number 4, though I might have also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more, has circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Paul is rejoicing, and he says, finally, we need to rejoice because of our faith, but then thank God we ought to rejoice in spite of our flesh. Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul is saying here, I got all these credentials. Let me tell you what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to put them on the dunghill. I count them as nothing. Amen. He said, listen, it's not my flesh that makes me in good standing with God. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. And it's the Word of God that makes me in good standing with God. And listen, Paul was over there and he had that thorn. You remember that thorn in the flesh? And beloved, he besought the Lord. I was sitting there on the bench just a while ago and I thought about this. You know, we might think, well, he said, Lord, please remove this thorn from me. And maybe nothing happened. Lord, please. No, no, this may have been days. It may have been months. It may have been years. I besought the Lord 3 times and God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some grace. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm telling you today, beloved, listen, we need to rejoice because of our faith, but we need to rejoice in spite of our flesh. There's Paul and Silas. They're down there in the prison. You know what I mean? They beat them. I don't reckon they ever beat you, did they, brother? Amen. But they beat these men. And beloved, they're hurting and they're bleeding. Amen. But at midnight, you know what the Word of God said? It said they praised God and they prayed. Amen. They're rejoicing in spite of their flesh. Amen. They're rejoicing in spite of their circumstances. And Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, listen, when it comes right down to it, we need to rejoice because that's what God wants us to do. And listen, there's a reason for it. The Word of God said this, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. You can rejoice on the mountain. There'll be a few people hear you. But boy, you get down in that low, deep, dark valley and you begin to rejoice in the things of God. They're going to say there's something wrong with him besides his red hair. Amen. He's got a Savior that lives in his heart and he's rejoicing. Amen. Because of his faith and rejoicing in spite of his flesh. Then thirdly, let me say this. We need to rejoice because of our fellowship. Notice what the Word of God said here. That I may know him. I will guarantee you this, Brother Brad. There's no accidents like you said. It's the providence of God that you get to be with us today. But I'm going to tell you something. You came out closer than you went in. Am I right or am I wrong? You didn't read that Old Testament four or five times and read the New Testament all the way through and not come out closer to God. Amen. You may not have had fellowship with a Muslim, but you had fellowship with the Master. Glory to God. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. Amen. He's saying, listen, I'm going to rejoice. He said, finally, brethren, rejoice. I tell you, thank God Almighty, I got to visit with Brother Don in his last days. I'm telling you, one thing he was doing in that recliner was fellowshipping with God. Amen. And praying and talking to the Lord. And finally, my brethren, we need to rejoice because of our fellowship. And then we need to rejoice. This is number four under number one. Y'all got that, didn't you? Amen. We need to rejoice because of our friends and because of our fellow laborers. Look what the Bible said in chapter number four. Here in chapter number four, in verse number one, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He said, I beseech Eudes and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen. We ought to rejoice because we're not alone in this thing. Oh, thank God, Brother Brad. I don't know who you knew was praying, but I know this church was mentioning your name and praying and lifting you up. Amen. And I just want you to know this, beloved, whether they're beside you or not, we ought to thank God and rejoice that we've got some friends and some fellow laborers in the ministry. Amen. We're not in this thing alone. I've heard Brother John stand here in Sunday school time after time and say something like this: we ain't the only church in Kingsport telling the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't no need to stick that chest out. We ought to be humbled that we know the truth and that we have an opportunity to work together to reach some sinner with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need the fellowship, beloved of God. And we ought to rejoice because of our friends and our fellow laborers. Look here. Look here in verse number 10. He said, but I rejoice. This is chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know how to be both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, he said, you have well done that you did communicate with me in my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Look at that. But ye only. Boy, you talk about friends in the ministry. Say amen. You talk about fellow laborers in the ministry. Amen. I told Brother John the other day that we'd be helping him in his ministry there in Brazil. And I'm telling you, he's rejoicing. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? Let me show you what the big deal is. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Watch what Paul said. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Every one of those missionaries, thank God that we send out of here. Every time Brother Coulter leads a man to Christ in that prison in Alaska. Every time somebody gets saved in Brazil. Every time somebody gets saved under those pastors that Brother Keith is training in Africa. Every time somebody gets saved, God is putting a little bit on our account. A little bit on our account. Listen, that's not our motive. Our motive is we love God and we love sinners. Amen. But I'm telling you, God ain't going to let us sow without reaping. He's going to help us. Amen. Thank God for the friends. Thank God for the fellow laborers in the ministry. Watch this now. The Bible said, not because I desire a gift, But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. You know, we send out money. Money goes to a mission board. Money goes to a missionary. You understand what I mean? But in this day, they weren't sending money. Paul might have needed a coat. He might have needed a Bible. He told one place, bring the books. Amen? I'm telling you, whatever he needed. Maybe he needed shoes. Maybe he needed something to eat. But this church at Thessalonica, beloved, or at Philippi, was helping him. Amen? And here is Epaphroditus. He's bringing the things, and the Word of God said, it's a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Look at verse 19. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what a lot of people do. They take that verse right there and jerk it out of context. They take that verse right there and they jerk it right out of context. You take it in context and what God is saying, you help get the gospel out and I'll take care of you. Hey, that's what he's saying. Say amen. You can't pull it out of its context. Amen. The church was helping the man of God and God was helping the church. That's the way God works. Amen. So we need to rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice. We need to rejoice because of our friends and our fellow laborers in the ministry. And then get this one before we move on to the second thing in the message. Look at this. This is number 5 under number 1. Turn back over there to chapter 3, verse number 20. The Bible said, for our conversation, interpretation of that word is our citizenship. The Word of God said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. I told a lady last week that it ain't going to be long for this world. I told her this. I said, honey, this world ain't our home. Amen. Listen, when you're saved by the grace of God, listen, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. I'm telling you, beloved, heaven is our real home. Amen. And we're headed home one day after a while. The Bible said here, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Watch this now. Who shall change our vile body, and it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it ought to be really, really, really in the forefront of our mind when somebody that we love, that knows Jesus, leaves this world. Honey, the moment they leave this world, they're in the presence of a Savior. Are you listening to me? Why should we rejoice? We ought to rejoice because of our future. Glory to God, my future's not bleak. My future's not dark. If I don't make it to the house today, I'll make it to the house. It's my real house. Amen? My real home is up there on high. And we ought to rejoice because of our future. I believe that. We ought to rejoice because that's where our citizenship is. We ought to rejoice because there's a change coming. Amen? For the people of God. I'm glad that there'll be no arthritis. There'll be no ICU. There'll be no nursing homes. There'll be no feeding tubes. There'll be no life support. Say amen. Where we're going, amen. There'll be no wheelchairs. Thank God Almighty. There'll be no ambulance passing you on the road. No wreck piled up in the middle of the intersection. We're going home. And when we get home, beloved, listen, our future is bright as the children of God. We ought to rejoice because of our future. And then we ought to rejoice when we're talking about our future. Because we do that, we can experience the comfort of a holy God. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Thessalonians real quickly. Let me tell you what's going to happen in our future as God's people. In the book of Thessalonians here, let me give it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is read a lot of times at a graveside service. I use it myself a lot of times. But honey, listen, this is good scripture anytime. The Bible said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which do no hope, have no hope. Let me say this. Brother Brad mentioned at 8:30 that those men would get up
And those men would do their prayers, the Mecca and all that. And let me tell you something right now. There's a lot of people involved in false religions that are much more faithful than us that know the truth. Would somebody say amen right there? Amen. I mean, there's a time of day set aside. Amen. There's a direction they've got to face and they fall on their... Listen, I'm just telling you, beloved, we're God's people and we ought to be faithful and we ought to be comforted by these truths. The Bible said here, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. God didn't say not to sorrow. He said our sorrow is different than those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, does anybody believe that? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You can take whatever you want to. I left Kingsport yesterday. It hadn't started snowing yet. It was snowing a little bit the time I got home. And I looked up and I said, well, Lord, you'd have no problem today. Because it was just one giant cloud. Amen. It wasn't a cloud here and a cloud there. I'm telling you, the sky was low and the sky was gray. It was a cloud. I said, Lord, you step out anywhere you want to. You say, you're crazy. I'm going to tell you, beloved, He's coming on a cloud. And I'm leaving out of here. Amen. When He does, the Word of God said here, we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Somebody say, well, that word rapture ain't in the Bible. That's what's being taught right there. That's what it means. Amen. Caught up together to meet them in the air. And the Word of God said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Watch verse 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we ought to rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice because of our faith. Rejoice because in spite of our flesh and because of our fellowship and because of our future, because of our friends and fellow laborers, we ought to be found rejoicing in Him. Amen. And then secondly, in the message today, finally, my brethren, first of all, God said rejoice. Secondly, today, here's what God said, rehearse. When it comes to the end of the way, listen to me. Think about verse number 8. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. How many's glad you know what's true? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told a very religious man, Nicodemus. I mean, he had all the credentials, but he, just like Paul, had to come to a place where he was born of the Spirit of God. And the Word of God said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When the Word of God said, finally, my brethren, let me say this to you. You won't be tore out of the frame if this is where your mind's hung up. If this is what you're meditating on, say amen. If this is what you're thinking about, one old preacher said this. He said, God's people die well. You know why? Because, beloved, they're looking forward to meeting the one that died for them, the one that gave his life for them. We ought to rejoice, and then we ought to rehearse. We ought to rehearse that purity in verse number 8. We ought to rehearse in that praise in verse number 8. The Word of God said, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then, beloved, we ought to rehearse in that peace. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard. You know, we talk about these children learning these verses. Somebody's got to teach them. It blesses my heart, amen, to see somebody caring for the children and somebody teaching the children. Paul is saying here to the church at Philippi, you've heard, you've learned, you've received, and you've seen it in me. Paul's not one that gives it to you, but don't live it. He said, you've seen it in my life, amen. That's what Brother John was saying on Wednesday night when he looked at that prisoner. He said, look me in the eyes. That prisoner could see, amen. He could see that light, amen, that truth at glory in his life. Amen. And so we need to rehearse in that purity. The Word of God said, I believe it was Peter, he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And when it comes to that, finally, my brethren, we need to be stirred up. Say amen. Not be thinking about the negative, amen. We need to be thinking about what the Lord is fixing to do. And what will happen? We'll have great peace. The Word of God said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And then he said this, and the God of peace shall be with you. Finally, my brethren, what does it say over there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Right there he is. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank God if you know Jesus. You may leave one day, finally, my brethren, but you won't leave alone. Amen. He'll be right there with you to escort you across that river. I don't know why, beloved, God put this on my heart, but I'm going to tell you something right now. We ought to live today like it might be our last day. One thing I had to come up in a devotion not too long ago was the last week of Jesus. Sunday, on that one Sunday, there's a triumphal entry. Then you've got that week, amen, where he's going to have that supper and where he's going to tell his disciples that he's going to die. Then he's going to go through a mockery of a trial. He's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray till his sweat becomes great drops of blood. He's going through that mockery of a trial. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be beaten, and he's going to end up hanging on a cross between two thieves. Amen. But oh, thank the Lord. Sunday week's coming. Say amen. He's fixing to get up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And he had these things, beloved. He could rejoice, and we should rejoice. And we ought to rehearse, amen, these things. How many's ever had a problem in your life? You can have, I'm just seeing if there's anybody like me. You can have 20 things that are positive, and you can have one thing that's negative. How many's ever had a problem like that? And that one thing that's negative takes over the 20 things that's positive. Am I right or am I wrong? That's this old sin, cursed flesh. That's how we're geared, amen? But you know what we need to do? We need to get this old flesh under the submission to the Spirit of God. We'll be geared differently. Amen. We'll be thinking about the things that God wants us to think about. How many's glad you come this morning? Do you know him? I said, do you know him? I ask you a question. Do you know him? If you couldn't answer me, I pray that you'll know him. Laura, come get me a number, honey. We're just going to play through a verse. Going to give you an opportunity. Maybe, beloved, listen, you've not been rejoicing. Did you know the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin? Did you know that? The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It ain't always mountains. Sometimes there's valleys. We're to rejoice. Amen. That's what God told us to do. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, oh, let me encourage you. Amen.